Mr. John Hunter, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Hunter?
I was born in Kirkcaldy on the 22nd of February, 2020.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background and your parents? What sort of background they were from?
My father, he was Scottish. My mother, she was Irish. Born in, I think it was the South Island. That's about where we're in there, I think.
And how many were there in the family? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I had another two brothers survived. One actually was in the fighting for before the war, like, you know, he was a territorial. And then I think he landed up in the Royal Army Service Corps when he was called, but after he demobilised, like, you know, from the fighting for.
And what did your parents do for a living, or your dad?
My father, he was a French publisher, the same as what I am.
And was it a comfortable life at the time? I mean, were you brought up comfortably?
Well, so we had to work for our living.
What about your education?
Education was just normal education.
Which school did you go to?
Dunnicky School in Kirkcaldy.
And did you have any particular favourite subjects or interests? And sport? Interesting sport.
Swimming is my sport. Although I was a Scottish champion, I went to.
And did you go in for competitive swimming?
I did, yes. I was in the Scottish swimming club since I was 5 years old. And did quite a lot of competition swimming, you know. But not on a big scale, you know.
But you enjoyed swimming?
Oh, I did, yes. It was the best exercise you had. I started when I was 5 years old. And it wasn't any swimming baths at that time. It was harbour basins where there were oil boats, cotton boats came in. You name it, they came in that harbour because this is where all the linoleum is made in Britain.
Kirkcaldy.
That's right, made by Michael Nairn. And Barry Osler and Steens, that was a London firm.
So you just swam in the harbour?
Harbour basin, that's right, yeah. Actually, that's where the club started, you know. It was, used to slide a platform down the side of the basin. And that's where you swam. That was a big holiday at that time, yeah.
When you left school, what did you plan to do? What did you do? Did you go straight into French polishing?
French polishing, yeah.
Were you apprenticed to anyone, or to your father?
My father.
And can you just tell us a bit about French polishing, what the job was?
Well, at that particular time, it was, there were no sprays at that time, you know, it was all done by hand, and you worked the polish into the wood. Shellac polish, linseed oil, and methylated spirits. And then you got the oil up to the top. And then you change your cotton pad around and worked it all out again, you know, all the oil out, which gave it the correct finish, you know.
It's people see it as a very skilled trade, would you say?
You've got to get the feel of it. That's why when you're doing it, my father, he said, watch us all the time to see if we were doing right. You looked up at your corners first and worked it into the middle, you know.
And was most of the, what was the work done on? Was it done on new furniture or old furniture or repairs or what?
Actually, to start with, it was an old furniture. And then as things moved on, well, the firm that I worked with laterally was A.H. McIntosh, and actually, he was the Colonel McIntosh in the fighting for the Army.
So you worked for him before the war?
That's right,
So you were apprenticed to your dad?
That's right.
And then you went from him to McIntosh's?
That's right. The firm I worked with first was Matthew Spears and Company, Kirkcaldy. And then, as things went on, they hit a bad patch, and so we had to move out, you know. My father, he went away to, what do you call it? He was 65 at that time, and he went away to a shop fitting place and coffin place, you know. And then, at this particular time, this manager asked me, says, "Where's your father?" "Well," says, "he's away to Haddington." I says, "And he's got a job here." He says, "Tell him to come back." Yeah, actually, he served his time at McIntosh, you know. And he came back and started in again, but it wasn't his cup of tea. You know, it was all the mass production started. His playing and rubbing down, and it was all just quick as you can get it, you know.
So you were working on new furniture for McIntosh?
That's right, new furniture.
What was he like as a boss?
Well, Sandy McIntosh, he was quite good, and he was a good talker too.
What do you mean he was a good talker? No, I mean, when he was in the shop.
In the shop, he came around and spoke to you and everything.
He'd know you all then?
He knew I was in the Fife and Four Fire Yeomanry.
Well, let's come to that. When did you join the Fife and Four Fire Yeomanry?
I joined the Fife and Four Fire Yeomanry in April 1938.
38 or 39?
38. The year before the war broke out.
So, then, was that when they were the 20th Armoured Car Company, then?
Yeah, it was practically, that's right, 20th Armoured Car Company. Right.
There's still the Fife and Four Fire, but...
Still the Fife and Four Fire, yeah.
And, how did you go about it? What made you decide to join?
Well, it was actually, we were in McIntosh, the guys were talking about joining up, you know, and I said, "Well, if I join the Fife and Four Fire, I'll be with all the lads." And you knew most of the lads that was joining up, so I decided that I would go to the Fife and Four Fire.
And how did you go about joining?
Well, we just went down to the drill hall.
Now, where was the drill hall? Was that
Hunter Street, Cody?
And what happened when you got there?
Well, it was actually a major Spencer Nairn who was... you heard that name again? Major Alistair Spencer Nairn. And he had the linoleum factory at that time. Well, he still has it yet, but it's not going to be now. However, it was him at Swarer's End.
Was there an interview or an examination or medical or anything like that?
It was just an interview to see, you know, I suppose, to see what kind of person you were. And then you were sworn in into the regiment, like, you know.
And did they kit you out with uniform at that time?
You're right. They kit us out with uniform. It was uniform for the First World War, I'll tell you.
What did they give you?
It was one of these jackets with the old buttons on it, you know. And the trousers, you had to take your boots off before you got your trousers on, because they were that narrow, you know. The reason they were narrow because they had putties on the bottom of them, you see. So they'd done away with these putties. And he still had these narrow trousers. So you had to take your boots off before you got your trousers on. It was quite a laugh, you know. But,
and what night was you joined the 20th Armoured Car Company. Do you know which troop you were in?
Well, there weren't actually any troops at that time, just one.
Just a company. And what night was drill night?
It was usually either a Monday or a Tuesday, I think.
Would you go twice a week or just once?
I think it was twice, I'm sure it was.
And what kind of training did you get on drill night?
Well, you got trained on Becker's machine guns.
What was that? How did they go about training you on that?
It was a gun from the First World War, you know, and you had to strip it all down and put it back up again, and you got blindfolded sometimes to see if you could do it in the dark. And different things, you know. And then there was the Bren gun. It actually came out later on, you know. You had to strip it down and put it up.
So it was stripping machine guns. What other training might you do on a drill?
They took me up to Kirkcaldy High School and on the, what do you call it, the playground where you got drill and then you got rifle drill too.
And how did you take to drill?
Well, the drill was quite, actually we had it was an Englishman, a chap called Alice M. Jones. And he was pretty good, you know. He was a smart, he was an RSM, and he was a PSI, a permanent staff instructor, and he gave us all the drill, you know. But it was quite good.
And anything else you did then? Well, I mean, a drill night. Or was that it? Machine guns, bit of rifle drill.
A bit of rifle drill and ordnance drill, you know.
What about going off to summer camp? Not summer camp, weekend camps at Lake Annsmere.
Annsmere, that's right. Well, I could tell you a joke about that. We had to sleep for the float. For 20 pence. Four shillings we had to sleep for.
What do you mean by that? Sorry.
That was your weekend payment for the weekend. For the weekend drill, you know. And I remember going up and putting your hand forward like that and then getting the 4 shillings in your hand and putting another on and saluting, you know.
And what would you do up there when you were at the weekend camp?
Oh, well, you had the sort of manoeuvres and that, you know. You were imagining you were getting attacked by different parties, you know.
And did they have any armoured cars or tanks up there?
No, I had one armoured car.
And what was that?
It was it was Sandy McIntosh. He was always in it, you know.
Was it a Rolls Royce armoured car, or do you not know?
I didn't really see it, no.
And did you lot get a chance to train on it?
No, we didn't get, no. It was, came when we got there. Well, we got the instruction on driving on the vehicles and the vehicles that they brought through from.
You got that at Annsmere?
That's right, yeah.
And could you drive before that?
No, I was able to drive. I learned to drive in the army.
And you learned to drive what, on a lorry?
A lorry, that's right.
And how did they teach you? I mean, you know, well, it's not like a personal thing now, is it? How did
they did go, in other words, they'd give you the same instructions what a Wotton school would do, you know. And
just one to one.
That's right, that's what assessed you what you can do with it, you know.
Did you have any problem with because it was harder to drive then than it is now? How did you do? Can you explain what it was?
Well, you put it into first gear and move the wheelie, and then you double your clutch to get into second, and then the same with third and same fourth. It was repeating all the time, you know, when you have double the clutch.
How long did it take? Was it a knack, or was it?
It was a knack to start with, but once you got into the wheel, you were sort of good at it, you know.
So you were taught to drive. Anything else you were taught about Annsmere?
Just a minute. I think that's a bit all. It was all just
What about the summer camp?
The summer camp was at the Cattick.
Now, what about the summer camp in 38?
That was in Cattick. 38.
No, that was 39 at Cattick.
Wait a minute. It's not camp 38. I think there was one in 38 too, I'm sure there was.
I thought that was at Annsmere in 38.
No, that was weekend camps. That was weekend camps at the Annsmere.
Yeah,
week camps there. It was a weekend camp. You went for the weekend. And that's what you did, you know.
Right. So, well, we'll carry on. So let's have a look at the camp at Cattick. What do you remember of that?
Oh, we were on the canvas. Wait with camp. That was the name of the camp that we were in.
What was life like on the canvas?
Oh, it was quite good. The weather was quite good at that time, you know. And we sort of enjoyed it, you know. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm trying to do shit. Brussels and webbing equipment, getting blank load, that's all you did was, you know, you sort of trained yourself at all these different things.
Would you have kit inspections?
Yes, you did. Sometimes in the morning, maybe Alice come in, or the Major Alice was passing in, and sometimes they would have a weekly one with the Colonel. He would come around and inspect all the...
Did you mind the bullshit?
No, well, I thought it was quite good because it sort of kept you on your toes, you know. And I thought it was quite good. Sort of, well, lots of years, as lot of years went on, you were sort of trained for to do that, you know.
And what other training would you do at Catterick, at Waitworth?
Well, it was all just the same, repeating again, the Bren gun and Vickers machine guns. You got split up into wee groups, you know, and you get all these different things.
Would you get a chance to fire them at...
If it goes to the firing range, and you got a chance to fire them.
What did you think of the two weapons to fire, the Vickers and the Bren?
The Vickers gun was a bit dodgy. Sometimes you got the belt jamming and that, and you had to clear it yourself, you know. And then and the Bren gun, that was quite easy because if you've got a stoppage, you just not just the container off the top of your gun and put another one on, you know.
That's all you had to do.
That's all you had to do.
Anything else about training at Catterick? And you only remember the one camp?
That's the one, the Waitworth camp.
That's the only camp you went to? And you only went once?
Only once, that's right.
And were you aware that war was coming that summer?
I didn't really forecast it, you know, but I thought that there would be... It would be, you know, not really far away because Chamberlain went to Germany and he came back and he was saying peace was in our time and all that. But you just had that feeling like there was something going to, you know, burst out.
Now, the territorials, we're not quite sure whether you joined in 30 or 39, it doesn't really matter. The territorials were doubled up. I mean, the 20th Armoured Car Company became the 5th and 4th Yeomanry Divisional Cavalry.
Right. The 1st Regiment was formed first. Well, I was too late to come to get in the 1st Regiment, and I was embodied in the 2nd Regiment.
Now, when was that?
Well, the 39.
So, now, we're best, if we look at the call-up, because I think that's when you were set into the second.
Right.
Now, what do you remember of your call-up?
Well, I got a letter. I came home from work that night, and this letter is here, asking us.
Was that on the Friday?
Friday, that's right.
So that was the 1st of September?
That's right.
And how did you feel when you were called up?
Oh, I didn't know what you just felt that it was. Something was going to happen, you know. You just have an inkling that the war was going to start again, you know.
You weren't nervous?
Well, no, really, no. You had to just sort of get yourself together and say, well, that's it.
How did your parents react?
They were a bit worried too. Because my other brother, he was a... Actually, he had been in the 1st Corps, but he came out in 1936, and he didn't go into the army until 1941. He went in the Royal Army Service Corps, and he finished up as a sergeant, and he was posted to the Middle East with the Royal Army Service Corps. He did 4 years there.
Now, when you where did you go to? The Hunter Street Drill Hall when you were called up?
That's right. And then from there, we marched all the way after a month there.
Now, during that month, by then you were in the 2nd, were you?
That's right, 2nd Regiment.
And what exactly part of the 2nd Regiment were you put in when they were sorting you out?
It's C Squadron.
C Squadron,
that's right.
And And you were there as a trooper. Were you a driver by then? Or
I was a driver and trooper.
Driver and trooper. And you were a lorry driver, lorry, not a tank driver or an armoured car driver. Now, where did you stay for the first month? In
the door hall.
So you were in Hunter Street?
We're in the door hall, but we've got to go home at night. We've got the ration cards and that from the army, you know. And we went home at night, and that was for a month. And this particular group decided that the new attacker was called Wesley. In fact, he's ahead of that. And the last all the way from Kirkcaldy, right across Falkland Hill, that's a great big. And we had the uniform for the First World War on at that particular time. And we didn't have the right gas mask, but it was a civilian gas mask in front of us, and their tin helmets. And we were like Fred Carmen's army that day. However, get away. But when we arrived there, with all the equipment, the equipment for the First World War on.
All the webbing.
That's right, all the webbing. And we were told by Major Alistair Spencer there that he would be back at 9 o'clock to inspect us. So we took all our equipment off, blood going, boots shining, and he was living at the back. It was the Bob Eddy house, that was in the Mace house. And he came back to inspect us at 9 o'clock that night. And that was our first real inspection, you know, when the war broke out. And then from there, we did a lot of training, just the same as what we were doing at Arnsmuir.
So driving?
Driving and machine guns and various other things. You know.
Now, what vehicles did the second have at that time? And what was the Fordson like?
Quite good.
Well, are they? How many tonner are they? Or are they? What size are they?
Oh, they were
1,200 or 3 tonners.
3 tonners.
And were they reliable?
Oh, they're quite reliable. Yeah, quite good.
You like them?
I like them.
Now, what about your fighting vehicles? What have they got at that stage?
They didn't have any fighting vehicles at that time. It wasn't until that we went down to Aldershot that we were equipped with men gun carriers.
So at that time it was just men training and you were your lorries and things.
Right,
did you learn to ride the motorcycle at that time? Because quite a lot of them did.
No, I wasn't a motorcycle.
And any other, what sort of duties were you doing when you weren't training?
Well, usually FFM. You got sent to the cook house and peeling potatoes and other various things, you know. But
were you sent out in your lorry to, you know, to get supplies or anything like that?
Sometimes you were sent to, you know, to different places, like, you know, for the food and that, you know.
Would you have an assistant driver, were you on your own in the cab?
On your own, you went in your
own. Now, anything else about your time in Leslie?
Well, it was quite a good time. From September to December, and then they decided that they would move us down to Aldershot. And I remember that day going from Leslie, like all the time we went to greet us goodbye, you know. And we got to the station at Leslie, and we're all on the train, marched through Leslie, and we showed from various persons that we knew, you know. And when we got to Aldershot, the first regiment had moved out, right out to Southampton to get on the boats for going across to France. And we moved in to their barracks, which was Bowman Barracks. All right?
That was January 1940.
Yeah, that's right. And I can always remember the toilets were all frozen up.
What were the barracks like? Because it was your first time in barracks.
They were right for the First World War, I think. You know, they were good, but I mean, they were clean and that.
What were the rooms like? Can you describe them?
Like double-tier beds now, you know. And
oh, they weren't single bunks?
No, double-tier beds. No. Just like these beds that the kids have now, one on the top of each other.
Was there a stove?
There was a stove. Let me see now. I think there was a stove in the middle of the barrack room, like, you know.
Was there enough coal for it? I mean, it was winter.
It was coal, it was winter.
Was there enough coal?
There was enough coal.
And what about barrack room, the food you got there? What was that like?
The food was done separate from the barrack, from the accommodation, like, you know. That was quite good. It was actually, the barrack was with us all from the territorial, and it was the Sergeant Haxon. And he was quite a good cook, you know.
What sort of thing would you get? Do you remember your meals?
It was usually potatoes and McConaughey's and so forth. That was the usual thing at that time. Boiled rice or something like that, you know.
Did you get enough?
Oh, that was quite good. Actually, I put weight on.
And what were you doing while you were... You weren't there long, because you went off to Farnham, or near Farnham.
That's right, went to Farnham.
What were you doing while you were at Aldershot?
Actually, just the same as what we were doing.
Routine,
I sort of...
Now, you got your tanks there, you said. Was it while you were at Aldershot, or while you were at Farnham?
We got Farnham, we got the Grand Gun carriers.
Okay, so, well, where were you at Farnham? Were you actually in Farnham, C Squadron?
No, it was the place called Runfold. Am I right? That's right.
Just outside?
Outside, yeah.
And what were your billets like there?
Well, it was a big house. We didn't know who it belonged to, but we were billeted on this big house. And different rooms and that.
And what about the tanks then? The Bren carriers.
The Bren gun carriers, yeah, and they took them out, took us out into Aldershot on the plains and that, and gave us training with them, you know. Driving them in that.
So you learned to drive them as well?
I learned a car.
And it's not like driving a truck, is it?
You've got to sort of use your bars for men, the gears, you know. You double the clutch, but then it was a wee bit difficult. And of course, the steering, you had to keep the steering pretty straight, otherwise you would get locked and you stalled the engine, you know.
Did it have a wheel, or was it done by gears, Lee?
It was a wheel in front of you, in front of the armour plate.
And what do you think of the Bren carriers?
Well, I couldn't think much about them because,
you weren't in them much?
I wasn't in them much, no. I was about the lorries.
So you were only really learning to drive in case?
In case I was called, you know.